The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome. Good afternoon. It is another edition of the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And what is our purpose, Steve? Why are we here?
Try and educate people.
Yeah.
It's, there's so much misinformation. And the one thing that I always just harp on is people have it in their head. And I don't know where it came from, to be honest. They have it in their head that it's easy to achieve 6, 8, 10% return on their money.
I think on that, the late 90s, because returns were so astronomical there for a few years, people started to expect that that was the norm. And then we had 3 years of bad years. And then the mid-2000s, it started kicking back up where we're getting the double-digit return with regularity.
That the property market, people just making money no matter what you did.
And that was it. I think all the money moved from the tech bubble into real estate. So then the real estate market started heating up and people were making double-digit returns in the real estate market. So it was just basically like, I hate, for lack of a better example, it was like crack cocaine where people were getting their fix in the stock market and then that fell apart. So then they moved somewhere else and the real estate market started giving them their fix and then that started to fall apart. And so, unfortunately, I think people are just chasing this.
Okay, well, that brings up a great point because people are chasing this massive return. And they've seen, well, they haven't, obviously. Maybe they've learned, maybe they haven't learned. But if you think about it, every time you chase this massive return, you blow up.
It works until it doesn't. And then when it doesn't, it really goes bad. And maybe it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're chasing this big return. That's causing you to lose significant amounts, which is going to make you chase a big return again to try to make it all back.
But we're seeing this right now where, you know, people are chasing yield right now. Everyone, I mean, the interest you're earning on your bank is next to nothing. So people are desperate to try and find a return that they can get. And so what's happening is that the high risk market or the high yield, or another word for it is a junk market of debt, like Spanish debt or Greek debt or just a high-risk company.
Just, right, low here in the U.S., just a corporate bond for that's a company that you've never really heard of.
Yeah, that's barely profitable or isn't profitable. And, people are jumping all over that, and they've driven the price up so high that the yield on these things is 2, 3, 4%. And once again, here we go. People are not getting the return for the risk involved, and it's at some point it's going to just blow up.
Right.
You know, and don't be surprised. But the problem is that people are desperate. They get desperate. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when you take a big hit like people did in 2000, the first thing they want to do is just, I've got to make this back. It's almost like that gambler's fallacy we talked about last week where, I lost $50, but I'm going to double down this time because I'm going to be right this time. And then you lose that. And it's like, well, I'm going to double down again. Well, at some point you run out of doubling down.
Right. Or the house doesn't allow you to bet any higher.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens because the bank won't lend you any more money in reality, right? And so you get to a point where you just can't invest anymore and you're wiped out. And what we're trying to do is protect people. The easiest way to not fall into that trap is to have a proper plan, not participate in getting killed in the downside, mainly because you didn't try and run along with the herd and try and make the 30, 40% in the up years. You were content with your 8, 10, 12% with a good, solid platform. And then in the down years, hopefully you didn't lose anything. The chances are you probably did, because most of the time when you have big down years like we did in 2000 and 2007, everything gets dragged down together. Right. But if you've got a well-diversified portfolio that the assets are less correlated to one another, and I'm not talking about diversification in terms of you need 4,000 different investments. Right. You might only need three, as long as they're not correlated to each other in any way, shape, or form during any market condition, you are going to be diversified. And people don't understand that. They think diversification is just sprinkle pixie dust all over the place and hopefully you'll
10 different mutual funds and I'm good.
Yeah. And this isn't diversification. This isn't the true sense of what you're looking for.
It can be if you happen to pick all the right ones and you find ones that don't correlate. But correct, in this day and age, it's hard to find just two or three funds that don't have some of the same holdings.
Yeah, they all correlate to one another. Even, the good old days, you go out and buy international stocks. Well, we've seen what happened to international stocks when the U.S. goes down. They get pulverized.
Well, we've talked about this in the past. You almost don't necessarily need to allocate money to an international investment strategy because all of our big companies and a lot of smaller companies are doing business internationally. So you're getting that exposure through the performance of your
I guess the big question that I'm sure our listeners are asking is, well, then what is diversified?
Right.
And I mean, we've been talking about this at length. That's why I thought it might be a good idea to recap a lot of what we've been trying to teach people out right. there. And, the one place that where you can diversify through thick and thin is you can find, good performing real estate, or you can find a good performing base of collateral for your investments, right. In terms of a loan portfolio, or there's, private equity, or there's various other places you can go, or there's futures. I mean, it doesn't have to be stocks and bonds. Right. There's plenty of other places to go. And, that's what people really need to look at, because until you've got those types of things in your portfolio, you're not going to be properly diversified.
Well, we talk about this gentleman all the time, Warren Buffett, and his rules. Rule number one, best way to make money is to not lose money.
Right.
Rule number two, see rule number one.
Correct. Now, that's really easy to say and incredibly difficult to do.
Correct.
Particularly if you're really being honest with yourself and you take your overall portfolio, which includes your house and includes your artwork and your furniture and your money under the rug and your savings and your boat and everything you've got, right?
Right.
For all of that to continually go up is just about impossible. And he's also covered himself with these massive cash flow streams from things like Geico Insurance and that just pour cash into his coffers.
The challenge, people always want to try to emulate what he does.
Right.
And the reality is his investment horizon is infinite. He doesn't buy anything with the purpose of ever selling it.
No.
So that's a big difference, where if you're building your own individual portfolio for retirement and you're 40 and you're planning on retiring at 60, that's 20 years. More than likely, at some point along the way, the plan would be to liquidate some of those things, reposition them. So a negative return could really impact what you're trying to accomplish along that way, where if it was perpetual and you never had an intent and you buy a good company, over time, it's going to do well, or should.
An example. I agree, but I think that if your portfolio is well enough diversified, let's take an example. Let's say you've got some stocks, right? They're going to be volatile. They're going to be all over the place. That's all right.
There's no volatility in the market.
Exactly.
The Fed has ironed that out.
Yeah. So there you go. And then you've got some bonds, which are relatively low volatility. If you don't have to sell them, you're just locking in a yield. And then maybe you've got a situation where you've got some, performing trust deeds. So you've got some good real estate locked into that, or you've got some rental units. And maybe you've got some investments in some privately held businesses that are doing well, and you've got an allocation to futures. I would say that in that type of a portfolio, you're relatively bulletproof. It doesn't really matter what's going on. You're going to have some volatile years, But if you don't necessarily have to sell because you can rely on the income from the bonds, from the properties, and from the trust deeds to cover your monthly nut, if that's the case, you've sort of got a Warren Buffett-style portfolio because right. he doesn't have to sell, mainly because the income that he's got coming in from the things like Geico and those insurance companies and that covers him during the downside. So even when he sees like his Goldman Sachs position crater by 30-40%, it doesn't matter because he knows Goldman's isn't going to go anywhere. It's not like they're going right. to go bankrupt. He doesn't know that, but he right. assumes they're not going to. I mean, Bear did, right?
Right. Lehman.
Yeah, and Lehman. And so, I mean, but you assume you've done a good enough job, and those, even if they do, it's not going to kill your overall portfolio.
Right.
You know, in that situation, if you've got that cash flow, and to me that's really key, get the cash flow generating machine going. That's rule number one. Get that going. Look at what your cash is doing. Get it producing cash flow. And once that machine's cranking out enough money to be able to support you, then the volatility in the actual asset prices doesn't have an impact on you because you can now hold for infinity.
Right.
And that's what we're after, right? That, to me, is a bulletproof portfolio.
Right. That's creating the ability to just
now you got true
have
wealth.
The income, right, where
right.
The world events almost have no impact on you.
Except when you can't take your flight to Paris because there's terrorist threat.
Right. Well, then you have to find something local.
Yeah, but that's a shame.
Yeah, that's a different kind of impact.
I'm just being facetious.
Yes. Well, and the main reason we want to kind of recap some of this stuff is this really has been, to this point anyway, a very volatile year. Early in the year, it started out looking like
it was
going down. The first quarter was...
No one even remembers that, do right. they? I'll tell you right now, most of our listeners don't even remember that.
Right.
Because since then, it's all been up.
Well, it's been up and then a little bit down, then up again. But it's pretty much been since March.
It's up 8%. Aren't we up like almost double digits or maybe, you know, something like that? And at one point, we were down almost double digits.
Right.
So the point
is... Very early,
yeah,
early in the year.
But, so that's why everyone's... That memory of the down double digits is erased.
And unfortunately, the people... There's just not enough discussion about the impact of a negative return versus the impact of that big return. All you hear is about the highest performing sector, the highest performing stock, the highest this, the highest that. And again, it's because there is that agenda that
right.
they have. They have that purpose of getting you excited about something, either
correct.
Positive or negative, to buy or sell, because there's money to be made.
Correct.
Well, stick around. When we come back, we will continue discussing...
The downside.
We're going to dig deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll explain how the downside impacts. Be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick. And I want to say thanks for the hot chocolate because this studio is freezing.
You wouldn't think that with the summer we've had?
No. I can't believe it. It's like an ice cube in here.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Right.
We've been recapping a little bit what's gone on with the year and a lot of the topics we've talked about already this year. One thing I want to go back on, you touched on briefly. We talked about the impact of like a negative return. We're going to get a little deeper into that. But the first thing is when we're talking about bonds, because there's such talk about a bond bubble when rates go up, and I'm not convinced rates are going to go higher. And if they do, I'm not convinced they're going to go real high.
Well, as an example, you've got Japan, who's in way worse financial shape than the United States is, as hard as that is to believe. But anyway, let's assume that they can't hold it together, which at some point they won't be able to. It's just a simple mathematical equation. I have nothing against the Japanese. It's just you just can't do what they're doing without something going wrong. It's going to run out of time. And I don't know if that's tomorrow or in a decade from now or 2 decades. I don't know. But at some point it's going to – if it explodes, where's everyone going to run to? They're going to come to the U.S., right, to seek safe haven. What's that going to do to bond yields? It's going to drive them through the floor.
Right. And that's what I was getting at. Even if things go the other way, and we've made this case about if you're going to allocate money towards bonds and you have a specific goal in mind that may require a fixed amount of money, an individual bond could be a good option because you know exactly how much that's going to pay you.
The yield, right.
And the reality is, if rates were to spike, it has no impact on what you're doing.
The price of your bond, no.
Right.
Yield.
Right, the yield.
On the price,
the yield stays, because I think this never gets covered well in the media. If you buy a bond today and say you buy it at its full face value, so you pay 100 cents on the dollar, and for
excuse me, that's strong hot chocolate.
Right. That hot chocolate getting in. But so say you buy this bond, $1,000, you buy this bond, and it's paying you 5%, which this is a
fictitious
this
bond.
Is a fictitious imaginary world that we're
right.
We're
that's
why I
up choked.
Here. You know it's paying you 5%. That doesn't change ever as long as you own that bond. Even if you look at your statement and your statement shows now that bond is worth 75% of what it was, so now it's only worth $750, it's still paying you 5% based on the $1,000 you spent. And vice versa, if it's now all of a sudden showing it's worth $1,200, it's still paying you 5% based on $1,000.
Yeah, assuming you bought it at face value or par.
Right. That was part of the parameters I put out there. Was that
you
were paying it for the full?
The time.
I think you were.
But you're exactly right. And the point to this matter is, so the value drops, like you say, to $750. But then when the bond finally matures, you're going to get a check for $1,000 back.
Right. You're going to get 100% of your money back.
Yeah.
And the same can be true is maybe rates have changed and you buy that bond for $750 today.
Mm-hmm.
It pays 5%, so I don't know what that would equate to.
Huge
yield. But we'll just assume that it's this nice, easy, it's 6% just for illustration purposes.
Okay.
You know that that bond now pays you 6% based on your $750 purchase price. At maturity, you get $1,000 back, and you know that. So it could go even lower. It could go down to 50% as long as value of the bond is still there. You still have an investment, a
tangible asset.
Yeah, an asset that has value, and you know at some date in the future, which is outlined in the terms of the bond, you're going to get $1,000 back.
Yeah, I mean, so example, if you're buying a treasury bond, you're pretty much guaranteed to get your money back. If that's not guaranteed, nothing is, right? But if you're buying, as you mentioned earlier, some unknown company that's out of,
XYZ Corporation.
Out of Ecuador.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a high probability that you, not that I got anything against Ecuador, but I mean, there's a high probability you're probably not going to get paid back. So you've got to assess the risk of that underlying asset or that company. And once you've got that set aside, there's a very high probability if you're buying the right bonds that you'll always get your money out. So, I mean, that's the one thing to look at in terms of yields with these bonds is, you've got to just look at the yields And you've got to just, you know, make certain that the underlying asset is solid. And at that point, you know, you should be good to go, which is, right. is once again, and we're about to do our mortgage minute, I think.
Right. But this is a perfect segue as we're talking about rates and
the banks are basing their loan on a value of the property with the expectation that the property is not going to burn down. And even if it does, you've got insurance
right.
to cover
that. That's why you're forced to have insurance. Well, with that, let's go to our mortgage minute. We've got Donald E. Coleman, the Director of Real Estate with USE Credit Union. Donald, how are you today?
I am doing outstanding. How are you?
Very good. Very good. You represent a credit union, which is a little bit different. I don't know that there's tons of our listeners that probably realize that credit unions do mortgage loans, or if at least they've done a good job of staying out of the media, so that's good news. Can you give us an idea of some of the advantages to using a credit union? I know them, but it's better probably to hear coming straight from you why it makes sense for someone to go utilize a credit union for their mortgage needs.
Well, absolutely. The first thing is when you're dealing with a credit union, we're a not-for-profit organization and member-owned. So the first thing is we offer, in both cases, we offer better pricing and lower fees to any of our members or anyone that actually does a loan with the credit union. That's one of the biggest differences there. And kind of the difference of doing a loan with USE Credit Union as compared to most other lenders in the market, we offer three distinctive guarantees that we show up in the market with. Number one is we offer a same-day loan decision. So if you apply for a loan and give us enough information to complete a 1003 application by 3 o'clock, say Monday through Friday, we guarantee you that you'll get a decision before close of business that day, or you're going to get paid $250.
So the same day. So if I came in this afternoon and was able to say at 2:30 and was able to get all the paperwork filled out and hand it to you by 2:59, then you're saying by the end of the day I would have an answer as to whether or not I was approved?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Hey, Donald, it's Steve Bick here. I have a question for you. Don't you have to be a member of the credit union to qualify for a loan?
No, you do not. And that's one of the differences is we're a state-chartered credit union. So if you live, work, or worship in San Diego County, you are open for membership. So we don't require you to become a member before applying for a loan. So what will happen is once you fund that loan with us, your membership will be open during that process. So we're one of the credit unions that don't require you to actually become a member before applying.
Okay, got it. And then, I mean, credit unions, as you say, they're nonprofit, but they rely on the returns get sent back to the actual members, which is why you guys can keep the note rates down, right?
That is correct. I mean, that's part of the whole credit union philosophy is we turn our earnings back over to our members. So we do it in a form of lower rates on autos, mortgages, and products, and then we offer higher rates on deposits.
And what about the down payment? Are there any good terms with that, or is it the normal 10 or 15% or 20% requirement?
Well, actually, there are a number of different products that are available. I mean, we have programs right now that are as low as 5% down. I personally am actually working on an FHA alternative loan that we're going to hold as a portfolioed loan in-house to help first-time homebuyers that will have a minimum of a 3% down payment. That program is probably going to be launched somewhere in November that we're going to have ready to go for people to help homebuyers in San Diego County.
Well, you see, that's an important piece of information. So what you're saying is constantly, if you're looking for a loan, you need to basically keep in touch with the various experts in the field because things change all the time, don't they? There's programs offered and then taken away and then offered again later.
Oh, absolutely. You say that again one more time. It changes every day.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the flavor of the month right now is about a 3% down, is it?
That's correct, and that program should be live in October. So it's a unique portfolio product that we actually offer.
Okay, so people looking to get a loan, I mean, they can give you a call and line themselves up for this coming out in October. That's a great bit of information for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So what, give out his details there.
Sure. Best number, your office number?
Sure, that would be fine, yeah.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with Donald, his best number is his office number, 858-795-6155. Once again, that's 858-795-6155. Or if you want, if you don't have something handy, you could email either Steve or I at the show here, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. It's great ability to find solutions for people. And to be honest, I prefer the credit union experience over any big bank 100% of the time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot more personable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other important tidbits you think we could be leaving out?
Oh, absolutely. We're loaded over here. That's our market. And it's the second product that we offer. We offer a best price guarantee, so we kind of put our money where our mouth is. And we guarantee that we'll beat any lender's pricing, rate, and fee structure by at least $100. That's rate and then fees by $100. Or that borrower is going to get paid $750. And what's required is we just ask for a GFE that the same day in which the time that they're actually shopping with us, a GFE, and we guarantee that we'll beat that price. If we can't, we just require them to close the loan with the other lender and provide us with a copy of the HUD-1 and the notes, and then we write them a check for $750.
Hmm. There you go.
Sounds like you can't really lose in that deal.
Now, what about qualifying? Is it relatively easy in terms of income and that to qualify? It's on par with everything else, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. We underwrite our loans to the secondary market standards, the same as everyone else. And again, some of the benefits of that, because we can portfolio loans where the ability to repay limits may be at 43%, depending on the structure of the loan, we may have the ability to go above that. That's one of the beauties of a portfolioed loan, where we can do what is called that non-qualified mortgage, because we invest back into our members. That's the benefit right there.
Right. Now, that is a big benefit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is Donald Coleman we're speaking with, who is the Director of Real Estate at USE Credit Union. If you want to reach him, you can call him directly, 858-795-6155. Or again, you can email the show here, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. Donald, thank you very much. That's great, great information you're sharing with our listeners. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks
a lot.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Steve just finished his hot chocolate, so I think there's a chance he'll stay with us this whole time.
That's it, exactly.
You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we're kind of recapping, going over a lot of the more important details, we think, of different topics we've covered over the last number of months.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you're listening to us regularly, and when we start now talking about bonds, the idea is that we've done a relatively good job of educating you, so you're not getting lost. You maybe it's just sort of striking a chord with you. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what they're talking about. But, you know, bonds form a good part of most people's portfolio. Mm-hmm. The difference is that most people, when they invest in bonds, they invest in some kind of a mutual fund rather than the asset itself.
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting at. Because there's so much talk about interest rates and an interest rate spike, or is there a bubble in... Of course, it's some bond expert that they're short the bond market when they're coming out and saying, oh, there's absolutely a bond bubble, because they're poised to really capitalize if, in fact, the bond market falls apart.
Well, also something else just I want, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you buy a mutual fund that's a bond mutual fund, that now you've really essentially bought a stock. I mean, it is a bond. Yeah, I understand the underlying assets are bonds. But I'll tell you right now that that bond manager is going to be trading in and out of bonds. Mm-hmm. He's going to be buying and selling. The returns aren't going to be set in stone. They're going to change all the time. Well,
that's one of the big differences I wanted to discuss is the fact that, yes, you might buy this mutual fund today.
But it's a mutual fund.
And maybe it's paying a yield that equates to that same 5%. And then rates do move. Guess what? Your underlying stock price goes down and your yield drops right with it.
And if there's a meltdown in the stock market, I've seen witness this firsthand, you get killed because people sell that mutual fund and the price goes down.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the underlying assets. But, hey, you still get killed. Whereas if you actually bought the individual bond, and I think this was where you were going with this, you wouldn't have been open to all of those vagaries.
Right. But this creates, going back to a couple of our previous shows when we were talking about the behavioral finance and what causes people to make good and bad decisions.
Right.
If you look at your statement and you own individual bonds, and all of a sudden from one quarter to the next, you see a 10% drop in the price of your bond. That is not a reason to panic if it's just because rates have moved. If the underlying value of that bond, or if there's some issue with the entity
that
has put the bond out, then there's a reason to look at it. So pay attention to that. But if it's just because interest rates have moved, understand that individual bond is going to pay you your full value back.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's so hard for people to understand this concept. And I don't actually know why, but I've managed money just like you do for individuals. And I've put them into bond portfolios. Mm-hmm. And you feel these calls like, oh, why? I think we should sell. All my bonds are up. Or why am I bond portfolio getting so crushed? You know,
I've lost all this money.
Yeah.
And that's one of the misperceptions of you haven't lost anything until you sell that, because you know at this point in the future, that bond is going to pay you off. You're going to have exactly the amount of money you thought you were going to have paid back to you.
Now, I want to bring up something that you said. You haven't lost till you sell. Man, in the bond world, that is true.
Yes.
In the stock market, you can't take it from the bond market to the stock market.
Correct.
Even though I've heard it a million times in the stock market, I haven't lost, I haven't sold yet. Well, but you're on the way to zero. I mean, seriously. Or Yeah, it was 200, and maybe in some time point in time, if you live to 100, it'll get back to 200.
Right.
But, I mean, the stock market is an entirely different animal. And for the simple reason that I go back to bankruptcy, because bankruptcy is the way to look at this. There's a ladder of seniority. If a company goes bankrupt, and there's first you get the senior secured people. Those are the guys that have lent money to the business, like to the, against the building. All they do is they say, thanks, we'll take the building back. They get right. paid out. Then it goes off to the unsecured bondholders, who pretty much, well, most of the time, get the rest of what's left, if there's anything to sell. Or if the company's still alive, they'll just assume the equity. Mm-hmm. And the equity holders typically get zero.
Right. Best example was it Kmart?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Where bondholders ended up with equity. They,
yep.
they got issued a new version of stock.
Yep.
The old stockholders got
wiped
nothing.
Out.
It worked out really well. So this maybe isn't the great example.
No, it worked out well for the bondholders.
Right, the bondholders.
Yeah, but not the stockholders.
And that is another reason we haven't even really gotten into that, where there is value in owning bonds, because they are further up that food chain and there are better possible outcomes. You can still lose every penny.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, though, in terms of the only reason I bring up the bankruptcy argument is because it shows you the tiers of risk associated with the investment.
Right.
The equity holders, yeah, you should get a higher rate of return because you really are at the bottom. I mean, you've got the lion or the tiger by the tail. You know, seriously, you're in, you know, deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to understand that going into the stocks and things like that, that you've got basically no leg to stand on. None.
Right.
I mean, the guys that are unsecured, even the guys who have credit card debt to that company are ahead of you. You know, seriously.
Ouch.
I know. Anyone who's got a loan in there is ahead of equity
right.
people.
Correct.
So people just don't get that at all.
Right.
I don't get that at all. And that's why with stocks, you should get the benefit of better upside, but you've got a lot more risk. And that's why when you said earlier, in the bond market, it typically holds true. I haven't lost money till I sell. In the stock mm-hmm. market, that just doesn't hold true.
Right. And that's a tough one to get over. And I think maybe it is because people are so used to the stock market and hearing about the stock market.
It's funny because it's this country. It's really so promoted in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to Germany and only about 18 to 20% of people own stocks.
Really?
Everyone else just owns bonds and properties. That's where all the money is. And here you come over here and it's this massive hype show. It's almost better than the NFL. I mean, seriously, the NFL, talk about a marketing machine. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to offend tons of people, but I think it's a useless game. But
they play that other game where they don't have to wear helmets.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, that's how you would fix all these brain injuries, just take the helmets off. But that's another topic. But I mean, the hype around it is unbelievable. It's a marketing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock market in the U.S. is the same. I don't know how many TV shows there are promoting stocks and what you should buy. And this, most people have no clue.
And
about
there, think about how many shows within the shows there are. There's Mad Money with the Circus Clown.
Yeah.
And then there's Squawk Box.
Yeah.
And then the
I don't watch the
Lunch Hour one where they have, I forget what they call that. And it's just endless.
Right.
And it's all the same, just a different view of the same thing. Rah, 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 the sky's falling, or rah, rah, rah,
but they
we're going
don't
to the moon.
Teach you about it, which
no.
is why we started the show. They don't
right.
teach you. I mean, I remember meeting a guy who thought he was quite savvy at investing, and he said he was going to buy Ford Motor Company and not GM. And I said, okay, why is that? He said, well, because Ford Motor Company is at $15 a share, GM was at $30 a share, so Ford has to go to 30. What?
Makes perfect sense.
I was just flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to understand the fundamentals behind this. And I mean, the market caps and based on profitability and all of those things to do a proper analysis of the stock. But most people don't. So what they do is they go out and they get a whole bunch of mutual funds because they get told you got to diversify. So if I buy 15 mutual funds, I'm diversified. And yet they don't understand when you lift up the the prospectus of these mutual funds that a whole bunch of them all have Apple or all have Microsoft or whatever, so you're not really diversified. So you've got to get some assistance or get educated to understand the risks that you're putting your portfolio at when you do these investments.
Yeah, and those we can just give you a couple easy techniques if you have a big portfolio and you'd prefer not to share it with us. Shoot us an email. We can tell you easy ways to go access the information to look and see, gee, do all of my mutual funds have Apple? It's not that hard. There are ways where you can see what's being held by these funds. And just take a look. If you type in five different funds and you see Apple, 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 guess what? You're not as diversified as you think. So you better hope Apple continues to do well.
Are they? I don't know. I didn't really follow.
They've been doing quite well.
They did sell 6 million iPhones on day one or something. 10 million, wow.
And Tim Cook said if they'd had more, they could have sold more. So I think 10 million was the total production, and they sold every one of them. So that's a pretty good opening day or opening weekend. Although I didn't enjoy going by any store because the lines were out the door, and it was ridiculous. But
just rush into the front of the queue and see what happens.
You'll have to incite a riot by doing that. Not worth it.
No.
Well, again, if you have questions, a lot of what we talk about here on the show is based on questions we receive. We want to address those. If it's some more of a private matter, we will keep it totally private. We will answer directly to you. Shoot us an email. You can email steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Or you can go directly to our website, theportfoliodoctors.com. There's a lot of information there. You have the ability to put your email there and contact us. We'll reach right out as soon as we can and get back to you and try to help you with whatever you need help with. And podcasts are also available on iTunes. So even though I'm not an Apple person, it is a great place to access music and podcasts and things of such. So you can just search for The Portfolio Doctors on iTunes. Well, stick around. When we come back, we will finish up
with our recap.
We will recap our recap.
The recap. There you go.
So stick around. We'll be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And between us, we have 50-ish, I think slightly more, 50 years of experience. So we feel we can add some benefit to our listeners. And we hope you're getting some good information from us. Today we've been recapping a lot of the things we've talked about over the past few months, and we want to build on this as well. We've talked about kind of portfolio composition and some behavioral finance over the last couple weeks. And now we've talked about the portfolio and what that means. Most people, when they think portfolio, it's just, oh, my investments.
Your stocks, typically.
Right, and that's it. And probably most people would say stocks and bonds if they own bonds at all. But like we've talked about, if you own a mutual fund, it's going to perform in many cases much like the stock market more right. than a bond. But the thing that gets left out all the time, we talked about earlier, cash and how you manage your cash. If it's just sitting there under your pillow or under your mattress,
give me a call.
It's a big, big drag on your portfolio
right.
because it is part of your portfolio.
Right.
As is your house, if you own a house, rental properties.
Well, your house is an interesting one because your house, assuming you didn't pay cash for it, mm-hmm. right? It's hopefully appreciating, which can be quite a nice juiced rate of return mm-hmm. because you're getting the upside on a small amount of investment. But the thing that a lot of people don't understand when they're buying a house is they don't ever look at it as an investment per se. They're looking at it mostly just as a place to live.
Right.
And I think that's a mistake.
It is both.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. The downside to a house, of course, is we got to keep fixing it up and, you know, repairing stuff, and that costs you money. And, of course, you've got the homeowners association dues and insurance, and these are things that people don't often think about, right? That's why you really need to do a rental analysis on your house. What is the amount of money I'm going to earn in rent
right.
versus what am I actually paying? So if let's take an example. Let's say your house, you're paying $3,000 a month for your house, right? The actual, that's just principal and interest.
For the mortgage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you add in your homeowners association dues and your insurance, and you add in what you're spending each month on maintenance and cleaning and upkeep and da-da-da-da-da. And let's assume that that, for whatever reason, takes you to $5,000 a month, okay? And you go back and you say, what could I rent this place for? And you could rent it for, let's say, $2,500 a month. You're actually minus that other $2,500 a month needs to be taken off the return of that property.
Right.
Because, you know, you're basically throwing away $2,500 a month. You're not getting that back, right? And people don't do that. They look at it and just go, well, I watch these shows, these house hunting shows, mm-hmm. you know? And the guy goes, okay, you bought the house for $100,000, you put in $30,000, and now it's worth $150,000, so you've made $20,000. That's so wrong. If you actually sold that house right now for the $150,000, the first thing you're going to do is pay about $10,000 in closing costs. So you really have only netted maybe $10,000 if you're lucky, right? That's
right.
not the return that they've promoted. And people don't factor that in, the cost of actually selling or liquidating the possession. And that's another massive expense, particularly in this state.
Right.
But once you've added all those up, if you've bought something that works in terms of all those numbers, then I think you've got a proper investment in your own personal house. But most people just don't do that. They go, what can I afford to pay? And then let's max that out.
Right.
With no thought of what sort of, is this a decent investment? You know, it's more just a, hey, let's buy something and raise the kids and have a cutesy place.
Right. And this is one of the examples where we made an offer, I think it was last show, possibly, about...
I don't remember. It seems like we've been here for hours.
Yes. It pertained to... You threw a challenge out to our listeners.
Yes. Yeah.
Of if you think you have a solid portfolio and a solid plan in place...
That's right.
Give us a chance to take a look at it for you and see if we can poke a hole in it. And...
Not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, there's no cost associated with it. And the worst case is we can give you a couple ideas maybe you hadn't thought of that can protect you.
Yeah.
Make you look at things a little bit differently because there is a lot of information that is really driven by profit motives, by companies that you need to do this because. Because why? Because it's best for me or because it's best for the company that wants me to do it.
Now, I've got to say that whoever takes us up on this, assuming people do, and you've got to leave your ego at the door.
Right.
Because if there are issues, you need to be able to sit down and rationally look at this stuff, not take it personally.
Right. Understand the possibility of some real constructive criticism.
Correct.
That is not a personal attack by any means. It is literally just constructive criticism of what is happening there.
It's not an attack at all. It's more just a concern to make certain that to help you get to where you want to go.
Right. So anyone who's interested in taking us up on that, email the show, give us a call. You can call 858-764-7250. We couldn't think up anything clever to put together, so just a good old-fashioned number, 858-764-7250.
And if we're not on next week, it's because we're too busy trying to work on all these people's portfolios.
That's right. We hope that's the problem because we want to help as many people as possible. And we feel we're going to cause you to look at things a little differently in more real life situations that are more pertinent to your unique individual situation and not just what.
And that's why we spent two shows just about on behavioral finance to try and give you or alert you to things that go through people's brains. And it's not just you. I mean,
Everyone.
Yeah, I had traded for years, right? And then 2000 hit and I didn't get killed, but I mean, it was just so hard to make money during that down market that I eventually had to go to a sports psychologist for like 2 years to be able to get my brain back into fighting mode, you know, because you're constantly getting beaten down, beaten down, beaten down. And so everyone gets affected by this to some degree. You've got to be able to be on your best, most rational behavior if you're going to look at your portfolio. And that's why I say leave your ego at the door, because you shouldn't have one when you're investing your money.
Mm-hmm.
You should just have a rational decision-making process that allows you to achieve your goals, nothing that's based on your neighbor's input or you're trying to beat the Joneses or you've got to have a bigger house just because.
Even a better one.
Yeah.
Not that you're trying to beat an index.
Correct.
That's one of the biggest.
There's the cheering squad from Squawk Box getting into your head.
Correct. That is one of the biggest problems I see when I review people's portfolios is their goal is, I need to beat the index.
Yeah.
And depending on what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish, that index is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You're not trying to beat any index at all.
Yeah, I remember getting like 16-18% return 1 year, and I think the index was up like 28. And someone said to me, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Well, the opposite side, which we've talked about the magnitude of losses quite a bit, if your goal, and this is why I don't believe a goal of beating an index is something anyone should pay attention to.
Right.
If your goal is to beat an index, how did 2008 look?
Well, you beat it if you're down 35%.
Right. If the S&P was down 38% that year,
right,
and you were down 35%,
you beat it.
You accomplished your goal. Congratulations.
Yeah. How did that feel?
Right. that hurt, especially if you were getting close to retirement.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of what you were planning on retirement. There were a lot of people. I remember reading story after story. One, kids preparing for college. Now, all of a sudden, their college funds were blown up.
Yeah.
Two, someone literally within 6 months of going to pull the plug and retire, now all of a sudden, guess retirement's put off for 3 to 5 more years.
I remember back in those days, we were trying to get my son into a private school. He was just a little kid back then. He's an older kid now, but we couldn't get him in because there were people pulling in saying, I'll just pay the whole year's school fee up front, plus I'll give you a 10% bonus just for taking my kid. And about 6 months later, it was wide open. We just walked right in there. Please come in.
The bank of the house shut
exactly
down. Credit lines were revoked.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So that just shows you it's just, you just can't play that game. Just shake your head. No, you're educated. You know better. And make certain you've got a rational decision behind what you're doing.
Right. I understand the hows and whys. Why are you doing what you're doing? And is there a legitimate plan behind that?
Correct.
And if not, then maybe you want to reevaluate it.
Yep.
Well, that probably just about does it for today. Good job. I'm glad you didn't choke on any hot chocolate there.
Finished the hot chocolate. Attaboy. I'm warmer, though.
Yeah, that's good.
That feels good for me.
Yes. Well, thank you again very much for listening. We really appreciate the feedback we get and the listeners' questions that we're receiving. Send us more. That's why we're here. And again, anyone who's interested in getting a second opinion or just to look under the hood, see how your plan looks, we are here for you. We'd be willing to bet. Steve, you want to wager one of your books that if someone gives it, that they can get a free copy of your book?
Absolutely.
There you go. So anyone who inquires and wants us to take a look, you can get a free copy of Steve's book, especially if you don't have a single thing
hand
that
delivered.
We can say. Well, yeah, we'll hand deliver it.
Mm.
So you have been listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170. Thank you very much. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.